while we stand here tonight. You are the reason that you have given us breath to stand in your presence. Lord, we bow before you tonight. We bow before you tonight. We bow before you tonight, God. We bow before you tonight. Lord, we bow before you tonight, oh God. We acknowledge your presence, Lord. We acknowledge that you are the Lord. We acknowledge that you are worthy. Worthy of our praise, Lord. Worthy of our thanksgiving. We exalt your name. We exalt your name. We exalt your name, Lord.
Oh God. Oh Lord. We came. We have not come for ourselves, but we've come because of you. Because you have said, when two or three are gathered, there you be in the midst of them. And we are confident you are here with us. We are confident that you are here in your power, in your glory, in your might, in your grace, in your love. Lord, to embrace us and to do a new work in us today. We want to thank you for your hand that has been upon our lives. The word has said, God works in us both to will to do of his good pleasure. Thank you for working out your will and your purpose for us. Thank you for accomplishing great and mighty things in each and every one of our lives. Thank you for the miracles you've already done. Thank you for the bodies you have lifted. Thank you for the ways you have made. Thank you for the doors you have opened. Thank you for the healing that have come upon our bodies. Lord, we just want to thank you tonight. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Father, we have come to learn at your feet. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen that great part which no man can take away from. And we have chosen the path to learn at your feet. And we pray that you teach us by your Spirit yourself. Amen. He says, all scripture is given for our learning, that we through faith and patience may obtain the promise. I pray that as your word enter our hearts, may we get into the realization of your promises for our lives in Jesus' name. And may your grace and may your power abound in us. Amen. Lord, I just hide myself behind the cross. Let me not be seen nor heard. And let Jesus be glorified.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's one thing I am very confident of. I know that God is with us tonight.
Hallelujah.
Okay, that's not good. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Okay.
Know that God is with us. Amen. Amen. So tonight, hopefully, we'll be able to go through. I just want us to look at something in scripture tonight. Something that has been going on in my mind and I'm thinking about, and which also to have experienced, and I believe every one of us to have. Amen.
Amen.
It's only when we have been raptured, that's only when we don't experience what we're going to talk about here. Amen. We are still here on the face of the earth. You will feel it. So, we're talking about the Christian and anxiety. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Christian and anxiety. And those of us who are in the medical field would have a better grasp of what we're talking about. And that is, these kind of emotions have gone beyond just ordinary thoughts coming left, right, and center in your heart. Has become an organic problem and has taken residence and stronghold in the hearts of men. But that's not going to be our portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. See, because it could be a stronghold. Stronghold. Real stronghold. So, before we define what anxiety is, I know I'm going to give us an opportunity. See, I just took time. I went to the internet and I was like, it was just on my mind. I want to look at it. What is the statistics about this thing? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? And it says that over 40 million individuals in America, that's over 13.something% of the population, has an anxiety problem. And you know, with that, there's also high demand for anti-anxiety medication. I work in a pharmacy, I see it every day. My sister working in, see it every day. People who have become chronic users of that thing. And he went further to say that about 41% of employees from different sectors of the workforce have reported a high level of anxiety in their place of work. Brethren, I can tell you about that. Praise the Lord. High stress job. I can tell you about that kind of anxiety we face at the place of work. And even our children also too, who are in colleges, says half of those in colleges currently have reported back and say, it's like I have one problem with anxiety. Maybe difficulty of understanding that course. Or there's one lecturer that is intimidating them and it gives them terrible anxiety. It says it cuts through age 18 and above. And brethren, when we look at it, we say, oh, we are Christians, we're not supposed to feel that. Let's be very realistic, we experience it too. Does that mean we are not Christians? It doesn't necessarily mean. It's just a battle which we are facing, as it were. And if we now go deeply and look at it now, what is anxiety? You see, another word for anxiety is worry. So that's another word for it, worry. Look at it, what is anxiety? If I maybe just give us an opportunity to do that. Who can tell us what is anxiety? Or who can tell us what is worry? Tell me, if you have never worried before, raise up your hand here now. Who has not worried before? Raise up your hand. Oh, I thought raise the Lord. Anybody who has no worry here, raise up your hand.
No, I wanted to define one.
Okay, you want to define. Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
It's just another way. level of stress. Like you're constantly worrying about something. Like probably having anxiety over the economy or how it affects your income.
Mm-hmm.
Having anxiety of like, oh, how am I going to pay these bills?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to do this, do that? Or anxiety because you have and you don't know how am I going to do, like accomplish everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, praise the Lord. See, you know, it's like the way he does describe it, it's like you have so many things and it's kind of like dwelling in the realm of the mind. And at times we look at ourselves, we say as Christians, what is your mind has nothing to do with you. Brother, you see, the Bible says we should love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with everything we have. So it's important.
I was going to say that anxiety is an emotional imbalance, and I think it has to do with more of fear. Being fearful of what you have no control over.
Uh-huh.
I think that is my own understanding of anxiety.
Praise the Lord. Say being is an emotion, and you're expressing it and showing it because you feel there's something that is happening or that will happen, that will never happen, possible, never. I'm going to read some of these things I looked at. Some percentage just discovered that some things we worry about never happened. Okay, Auntie.
Yeah, I just want to read it.
Okay. Encyclopedia. Wikipedia, okay. Hallelujah.
Anxiety is an emotion characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil.
Turmoil, okay.
Accompanied by nervous behavior, such as pacing back and forth, thinking whether this is going to happen, it's not going to happen. And it says that it is often accompanied by muscular tension, restlessness, fatigue, problems in concentration.
Praise the Lord. You see, that one has gone very academic. But anyway, we for now we are concerned about the thing that is happening in the depths of our inner man. And many a times it doesn't just remain there. It starts overflowing and manifesting itself. When it comes to that stage, that is where there is big problem. So, Auntie, you want to?
Yes, Uncle Mike.
So, did I call you Auntie? I'm too used to this, Auntie and Uncle. Did I call everybody Auntie?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I didn't even know it was anxiety, but looking back now, it was anxiety. When I was about 10 years old, 9 actually, my mother went to travel abroad. She was supposed to go for a short time, just because my baby sister died. That's another story. She was like 6 months old, so she was distraught. She went to England. And when she went to England, apparently she was there for one whole year. You know, by the time she came back, my brother and I, just 1 year apart, we couldn't talk normally. We're stuttering so badly. Before, when I'm trying to tell you something, I'm beating you. It was the same thing to me. Don't know that. Maybe that separation, you know, saying that, where's our mother? What's going on? Okay? And it took me years to overcome that stuttering. Even now, you notice that I stutter sometimes. But I was so embarrassed. I had to find a way to overcome it. My brother is still there. But anxiety, really, it's like in and it comes out. My came out as torturing, you know? Of course, now I feel some other anxieties, but now I've learned how to lay them down.
Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. That is where we are going to tonight. We're just trying to relay the problem now.
Pastor for the evening knows what we were discussing before he went up to preach. Because one of my kids just wrote to say, I'm getting very anxious about my future. And she started to pour down. I was reading and replying. At the time, I had to speak out and even help me. And that is anxiety. She just worried about how she can get a job as an international student. She's applying, they're turning her down. She wants to graduate, she wants to get this job, she wants to do master's. Trump is coming all down the road with immigration issues. People are telling her, get married to have a green card. People are saying, do this one, that one. So she's confused. She's like wanting to bust. That's anxiety. Oh. And I was just telling her, it's like you want to collect the work from God and help him to do it. He said, cast your care upon me.
Cast it upon me.
Just and I was discussing with him, so I just blessed God because by the time we finished, I would have gotten answers to the questions. It's just fear. Fear of one has an unexisted problem.
Oh, no.
The problems are not even existing. You're already getting scared.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, thank God for at least the insight we have, you know, into, you know, what we're talking about. See, and I looked at, you know, a deeper meaning, see, particularly from, you know, the scripture where Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6. Maybe we want to look at that. That Jesus was raising up an issue, and he discovered that what he was talking about here, it cuts across every aspect of our existence, not just only in bread, meat, and clothing. It cuts across every aspect of our existence, what we experience. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. So I'll just read that to us. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's Jesus saying, not me. What you will eat or what you will drink. Like I said, it's beyond that. Beyond drinking and eating. Like Auntie talked about family issues. Some relationship issues. Some has to do with their children. Some has to do with your health. You see, as we go along, I'm going to give a testimony about, you know, one of my neighbors that has worked herself into a pre-soul, as it were, because she has come to a point where this thing has become a stronghold in her life. So, it says, what will you put on? Okay, it's not life more than food and the body more than clothing. See, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. See, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? See, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And so, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Let me go to 31. He said, therefore, say, do not worry, saying what you will eat, or what you will drink, or what you will wear. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added to you. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about the things of its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Praise the Lord. So you see, I looked at the meaning of, you know, when he says do not worry, and from the Greek, he defined it as having a divided mind. And some people will say that it's the overstimulation of the mind. The mind is pondering upon several things at the same time, calculating, factoring, looking at the end before the thing actually happens. See, the end is never given to us. No. Now is what is given to us now, not the end. The end belongs to God. It is God who determines the outcome of any transaction in life, of any interaction. God determines the end. It is not in our own. So as we read, I'm going to look at, you know, we're going to look at some of the things that this worry and anxiety does to us. So you see, our mind is divided. And Proverbs 12 verse 25 says something. It says, anxiety weighs down the mind. It weighs down the mind. Proverbs 12:25. It brings you down to the extent that the thing that you intended to accomplish, you may not be able to accomplish it because you're expending your energy in matters that do not belong to you. So, we discover that our mind is divided. At sometimes you think about what is good. And sometimes you're looking at the negative. I know there are some people at times, they are so critical. They are so pessimistic. They never see the good in things. And they never see the good in people. That is a veiled way of trying to cover something that person is going through. A veiled way of trying to cover it. Why do children or people bully others? They're trying to cover the insecurities that they have. Some of the experiences they've had in their life. And so they want to project it to other people, as though those people are the problem and not them. And that's exactly what happens. The mind is divided. The issue is not being dealt with. So you see, we should understand one thing. In verse 27, it says something. Your worry, your anxiety does not change anything. That's conclusion of the matter. But yet we do it anyway. But we know it doesn't bring positive results. Yet we do it. You see, let's differentiate between anxiety from useful cares and useful concern for other people or family member or some things going on in people's life. Let's try to differentiate that. See, when you have a concern over something or over somebody, leave it as a concern that you need to depend on God to get the result out of it. You cannot fix the person. Amen. You can't fix the person. You can't fix the situation in the first place. And if it goes beyond that level of just care, it goes to the level of anxiety. And then you are like robbing yourself from what God wants to do in that situation. Amen. So it says, anxiety, it draws our focus from God's faithfulness and righteousness to the things we are looking up to. And that's in verse 31 says that, in chapter 6, verse 31. Yeah, 6:31. Because you're not worrying, like I said, it cuts across every aspect of our existence. You've taken your focus away from God, and you're focusing it on things that are not God. And you're creating a deity out of them. You are raising them to that level of a deity in your life. You're giving them a stronghold over you. That's what worry does. Praise the Lord. And it says that worry is a very, very harmful emotion. that dissipates our energy. He says, sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof. You borrow from the grace of tomorrow or in the future, and you are burning it in a venture that will never result into any profit whatsoever. You are dissipating the grace that God has given you and dissipating that focus you would have placed upon God. You are using it to worry for something that doesn't belong to you. See, I was listening to, you know, one man of God, Dave Jeremiah. So he was saying something. He said, look, he gave, you know, percentage of what people are anxious about. He started giving them a percentage, though it may not be exactly the way it happens. But he says, about 40% of the things we worry about never happened. So let's just start calculating that math. 40% never happened. See, that's the largest chunk of it. And he says, 30% is out of our control. See, that's 70 already. 40 never happens. 30 is out of my control. That's 70 already. So remaining 30, very small. Let's see what happens to the other 30%. 12% of the anxiety is about health issues. Some people are just saying, that maybe I'll become sick and I will not recover again. I tell us this story. My neighbor, she is a PhD holder. She teaches mathematics in a college. You know, most of my neighbors are elders. And she's been going through this experience in her life for quite some time. And one thing, she doesn't believe in being born again. Because I remember my wife invited her to a party in our house. And there was a sister we brought there to share the word of God with everybody. She was very annoyed that we shared God's word in my house. She was very annoyed. And it turns out that sometime last year, she started going through a lot. She's been through, you know, battle with cancer and all that. And now she's dealing with serious chronic anxiety with panic attack. You see, when people tell you the reality of when anxiety becomes a stronghold, when they have panic attack, some of them will feel as though their heart will just break. And for this lady, she may be sleeping few minutes now, and suddenly she jumps up. She feels she's going to die. At times, some of these things may not just be only organic. It may be there's some spiritual components in them. Yes, spiritual component, but we don't want to over-spiritualize everything, but we want to look at it in context generally. And she feels she's going to die. And now she's worrying again. She's about, is it 78? That she has been so strong, doing things herself. She goes to school herself and teaches herself because she lives alone. She said now she's afraid she may not be able to walk again. She's afraid she may not be able to do all the things she normally does. And she starts crying. And one day she sent for me to help her come, you know, to do a review of her medication, which I did and all that. And I started asking so many questions and all that. She started telling me some of the things that she's been going through. And told me how she finds it hard to sleep. And I now began to talk with her, somebody who will not hear the gospel. And I began to explain everything to her, what she's experiencing and all that. And she started crying and all that. And I told her, look, can I pray with you now? Because she has been pressed to the wall. She agreed. And I prayed with her that night. And that's just one in the 40 million of people we just talked about. Some may have it as extreme as she has. Some may just be only in that border of just only affecting the mind. It has not gone deep to affect the spirit. And when people tell you some of the experiences they have, it has almost become like a stronghold in their lives. And unfortunately, at times, you see, even some of us as believers too go experience some of those hard ones. It just takes God to open our eyes and our heart to see how we can be able to break those strongholds that want to hold us back from becoming what God wants us to be. So he says, 10% of our worry, they're unfounded. It's not based on reality. It's just in the clouds. It's not real. Just like what the lady is afraid of. She's afraid she's going to die, afraid she can't walk again. So, and I told her, look, you are not like me. You're not even younger. So the reality of your age, come to terms with it. You are not young again. So don't think that you will be like you used to be. Face it. And that's what at times people fail to face realities. They want to deny what is very realistic in front of them. The first secret to one receiving healing is when you acknowledge that that problem is really there. If you don't acknowledge the problem is there, you're not accepting it as it were. But you acknowledge it is there. There is a need for you to get deliverance from the Lord. See, when Jesus met that man by the well, he asked him a question. He says, do you want to be made whole? do you think you need it? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And finally, he says, only 8% is realistic. Did you see that? Only 8%. So why do I want to spend all my time, my days, to worry and to care, when at the end of the day, it's only 8% of what I worry that is real? See, and that is the thing the devil does to hide away from us, for us not to see these things. And some people want to enjoy in living in the realm of their worries. And some feel that may even give them comfort. You see, Job, the Bible says something about him. He says, whenever his children go out to have parties and have fellowship, he says, at the end of the day, he would carry out a sacrifice. He said, when calamity came, he said something. He said, the things I feared has come upon me. Will a parent not be mindful of his children? No, that's not what I'm saying. You should be very mindful of your children. Know what they are doing and where they are now. You should be mindful. But don't take it to the level of anxiety. And you see, anxiety breeds, fear is like the icing of it. Ices it. So it makes it more pleasant. Person now starts living in the realm of fear. And Job says, see, the things I fear, they have come. They have finally come. See, that's why you see, we need to be mindful what we live in our minds, what we keep there. That sometimes, as Paul says, he said, casting down every thought and high thing that exalt themselves against the knowledge of the Lord. Because that's what happens. Every thought and heighten and exalt themselves against the knowledge of the Lord. That should be 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And that's exactly what happens if we don't decide to free ourselves.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, you discover that worry is the opposite of faith. When we worry, we are telling God that He can't take care of us. We are telling Him He cannot handle anything that concerns me. We're telling Him, though He was able to save my soul, but probably not enough to handle everything that has to do with my day-to-day affairs. And that's why you see, if you look at the passage we read, Jesus said something, "O ye men of little faith." They still have a little, at least He mentioned it. And that's exactly what happens when somebody dwells in the realm of anxiety, in the realm of worry. You know, I know there are some people that really don't have control, in quote, about it. See, the Bible talks about a lawful captive. Somebody that have been captured by the wicked one. And the enemy is trying to bend the mind of that person. Trying to sow seeds to destroy that person's life. There are some people that are in that realm. But that's not going to be our portion in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it's very, very important for us to have this understanding. Weigh what is going on and look at it under the basis of what God has said in His word. If I should continue in that same realm that I've been in before. It has never been productive yesterday. It will never be productive tomorrow. Praise the Lord. And so, we know this about worry. So, what do we do? What do we do? What are we supposed to do now? Praise the Lord. You see, Proverbs, let's read Proverbs chapter 3. Sorry, I'll try and be fast a little so that we can contribute. Only have 15 minutes, as it were. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. So it says, the number one thing we need to do. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. It says, do not be wise in your own ears. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And worry is like you don't trust God. You don't trust what He says He will do. You don't trust what He has already done and what He's able to do. And the Bible is trying to tell us, trust Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Trust is not just only something that you just verbalize, but something you have to put into practice. You have to look up unto God, the author and the finisher of your faith. You have to raise your eyes unto Him. The Bible says that when they lifted up their eyes, say their countenances were lightened and they were not ashamed. When we trust God, no, it doesn't bring us shame. God never fails us.
God never fails us. We need to acknowledge Him in all our ways, not some, everything. There's nothing that is too small for us to bring before God. We'll still look at it further when, you know, what Paul, the recommendation that Paul was also giving, what we need to do as well. And this is Solomon telling us. See, it's not possible for us to figure out everything that happens to us. So why do we still try? We can't figure out everything. There are some things in life, some of our experiences that we cannot explain on this side of eternity. We cannot. You can't explain it. You can't give meaning to it. And something that belongs to the divine, let's leave it to the divine. He says, the secret that is revealed, it belongs to us. But secret things, the one that is not revealed, leave it for Him. Just leave it for Him. The one that God has revealed to us, that is what belongs to us. So don't reach out for something you can't grab. Yeah, we need to care. We need to care and think about some of the things we experience. You know, we all are in different phases of life, and we go through different challenges, as it were. Yes, those things will press your heart, as it were. They will hurt you, and you would desire to see an end to it. But even at that, you still want to still trust God with it. Praise the Lord. So let's look at the other prescription that Paul. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's the spiritual prescription that Paul is giving to us now. Praise the Lord. And I want us to read this in the Message. I don't know if we, those of us who have their phones or whatever, the Message gave such a beautiful rendition of it. Praise the Lord. So, and I'm going to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7 and 8 to 9, and I'll just explain quickly. And this is Paul telling the Philippian church. And we know at this time what the Philippians were going through. It was during the time of Emperor Nero, and if we know, Nero was a very terrible king, the Roman emperor. He persecuted Christians like no other person before. Very terrible. And so the Christians then, and believers, they were all living in catacombs, hiding from him. And they won't even know when next this guy's anger will boil over and he will send 40 soldiers to catch all of them and give them to lions. That's enough to make people worry. Praise the Lord. Enough to make people get so anxious and like you almost want to get out of your skin. And this is Paul trying to talk to them. He says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. You see? Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. That's our number two prescription. Prayer. And it says, let petition and praises shape your worries into prayer. And King James says, supplication, how did he put it again? Request and prayer with thanksgiving. Yeah, make your request be known unto God. And he says, letting God know your concerns. Say, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It takes a process for us to get there. may not happen with just one prayer. May not happen with just only one night vigil. Maybe multiple. May take long. But one thing is sure is that a sense of God's wholeness, and that's the peace of God, will settle us in that situation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, and he went further. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of our lives. See, that's what worry does. Worry takes the central focus. But when we pray, Christ displaces him. Just kicks him away. Praise the Lord. No longer takes the priority. Jesus is Lord. Yes, he's our Savior, but at times, you know, we put him at the background. But it says that when we pray, when we entreat God, when we bring specific requests, when we tell God as it is, you see, let's not at times, you know, cover the prayer with so many King James language. Let's tell him as it is. Tell him, this is the way I feel. Tell him, God understands the way we feel. See, let's, you know, at times those of us who were like, you know, brought up King James language, where at times we'll want to speak that. We want to speak that way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he went further. He says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you should do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you have learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Say, do that. Say, and God, who makes everything work together, will walk you into his most excellent harmonies. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you see, the Bible is talking about prayer and going down. It's talking about our mindset. We need to renew our mind. And Paul says in Romans 12, he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, then you will know that which is the good and perfect will of God. So our minds need to be renewed. We need to feed our minds with the right stuff. When we allow things to come into the wind, you see, they said the eyes is the window to the soul, as it were. Things that we allow to come in, or coming through this way, they fill our hearts with stuff that at times may not help us focus our mind where God wants it to be. And Paul is saying things that are noble, things that are honorable, things that are true, things that are holy. See, if somebody begins to hold grudge against another man, you sure you want to be delivered? No. If all you think about brother X is negative, you sure you want to be delivered? You sure you want God to touch your life when you don't have that opinion of that person? He says, let's renew our mind. And he was now further saying that there are some things we have learned over time. Some things our fathers in the Lord have taught us about God himself. He says, let's do it. Let's become practicing Christians. Let's try to put these things in use in our lives. And in conclusion, I'm just trying to rush over everything. And he talks about peace. Praise the Lord. You see, when we pray, when we renew our mind, when we do the things that God has spoken, it says, and the peace of God will guard our hearts and soul. You know, it talks about like a soldier. When the peace is there, it stands and makes sure that nothing will pass that gate that is not from the Lord. Nothing passes it. When the peace of God stands, And he also made a mention of the God of peace. So when we have him in our life, he's the God of peace. And when the God of peace is there, you're sure the peace of God also to dwell in that life. And peace is the tranquility that God brings about. We can be in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of the challenges, but yet we are in peace. We are walking in peace. My soul is settled. Despite what is going on around me, I'm still at peace. Just imagine Jesus himself when there was storm. And disciples were worried. And Thomas said, is it Thomas or Philip says, he said, "Carest not that we perish." What was he doing? Sleeping. He was sleeping. Midst of that storm. And God wants us to experience that peace. And the Bible says that the peace, my peace I give to you. Not like the world giveth you. Give I unto you. And he says, that peace passes all understanding. People cannot explain why in the midst of your trouble, you are still smiling. You are still happy. You are still going on. You are still doing the right thing. You are not snapping at people. Pam! You say everything to the person. Praise the Lord. Sorry, I think I got to stop here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, you want to say something? Just 1 minute each before Pastor
penalizes me. My own is 30 seconds.
1 minute. I'm only going to allow three people.
Everybody is not at all.
Come a little bit away from that. Okay.
He has one.
Okay. Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
Are you extending grace?
No.
So I just wanted to quickly say something that I saw on the internet a couple of years back. They said something. They said peace is not the absence of troubles, but the presence of God. So you can have so many things going on around you, but peace comes from the heart. Like having peace within yourself. You can be having so many issues and stuff like that, but you're at peace. I can use the example of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was in the boat and there was a raging storm. And yet he was sleeping. And the disciples were like, "You want us to die. You see all this storm is going on and you're sleeping." And then he said, "Peace, be still." That's another example. You can have so many storms and issues of life. But if you allow the peace of God in you, you will not even worry. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Number two.
Praise the Lord. Just only 1 minute, so
I think. It will be 1 minute. Okay. I want to thank God for what is happening today. In fact, I think this topic is for me. But then I want to say that we should be on the lookout. Apart from our children, maybe neighbors, loved ones, relatives, distant relations. I find out that anxiety is something that can lead somebody to an early grave.
Right.
I want to read what I have in my hand that just came in to you. It's not long.
Okay.
Just listen. Say, my friend was telling me about this guy that was doing a dual degree program in 2 Ivy League schools, and he was just about to wrap up in one school to enter Harvard for public health. But he was pretty much under a lot of pressure with school, finances, etc. So he started using some anxiety medication. But they are speculating he has some alcohol or weed at some point, probably because of stress. But the medication he was on most likely reacted badly with the alcohol and weed, and that's how the guy had a heart attack and locked off. Anxiety. So it's not all our children that know this prescription. That's why I take it seriously when my child says, "I'm bothered." I don't joke with it. Or even myself when I'm worried, when it hits me, we are human beings. In fact, at a point, It's our just I said, I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so. I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so. I'll be speaking out, you know, just to get myself back. So God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Number three.
1 minute. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Number three.
Okay. I thank God for this topic, and I know that it's what is happening in every day of each and every one of us life. Especially, I don't know whether the men the men I have around me, because just like my husband, any small thing spark them up. It's just before he won't sleep. But this life, you don't have to. You are not going to have it two times. And I thank God for the grace of God upon my life. There's nothing whatsoever that moves me. Well, no matter how the amount of the problem, if I can't fix it, then just leave it and be trusting God. But my husband is the opposite. Any small thing, he won't be able to take. He'll be impressing him. What of if? But what of if? You cannot fix it. Leave it. What of if? Leave it. And I just thank God for planting us, you know, planting people of God around us, especially when you are faced with all these turbulence situations and all the, you know, the encouragement. At times when so many things happen, especially let me begin to use my family as an example. When things happened about 3-4 years ago, and the whole thing, I say, God, thank God. But I thank God for that. I thank God. We say that I just don't know the way you guys are doing, because so many people, half of this thing will happen to them, and you don't see them again in the church, in that church, especially if they want to relocate anywhere. How are we going to relocate? Because the same thing that's happening there, how are we sure that it's not going to happen where we are going? So why don't you, no matter, I don't care. Let anybody feel whatever they want to feel. The way God feels about me is what matters. What I face, whether they say it's my withdrawal, because of my carelessness or nothing, because they are not facing that type of situation, that is their judgment. But for me and my God, that is thing. So I just thank God for this topic, because it's a lot. I wish my husband was here today. I thank God. I know that them is going to send the message to
her. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's a very
1 minute, sir.
Yes, sir. This is a very good topic. I learned about controlling your anxiety. When I worked for some years in the department of what we call this department, with people who are mentally challenged.
Yeah,
like
disabilities.
Yeah. We don't call them disabilities anymore.
No, they're mentally challenged. Individual.
Yes. So, how do you know when you have almost about 6-7 people around, when you see, people call it tantrum. So, people will sit down and looking at them. These people, they cannot express. Mm-hmm. And when something really, get to them, what happens is that they react. You will see some of them flapping their hands. You will see some of them biting themselves or beating. That's anxiety. And it comes from, somebody comes in, they just look at him as imposing person. This one will kill me. We don't want him in this house. And they react. So I began to study them very well to see exactly what is going on. And based on that, I used that one for me, for myself.
There was a time I have shared it here, that I bought a house that nearly killed, not me. That house, it was supposed to be an investment property, but once I collect my own salary, for me to sit down at my house and enjoy my money, the day I take my money, that money gets into my account. That's the day something broke down in that house. Now I'll be running there. And I looked at it. But just like you have said, you have to trust in God. You see, that's why what we are learning here today, brethren, you want to do something, you better place it before God, before you go into it. Because when it comes and it starts to drive you crazy, don't blame God, no, it's not God. It's you, it's your fault. What are we saying? Anxiety destroys. A lot of people have died. It gets boiled over and boom, and kill them. They commit suicide. It's from this small thing. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I try to keep my one of the prescriptions that I would recommend for anxiety is actually Mommy Odolade said it. Surrounding yourself with people.
Support system
is a very important thing. And not only support system, people that know the word of God, that can actually speak that word into your life when you're going through. Because that does a lot of good. And Mommy, if you don't have a word of God, how do you want to help your daughter? Exactly. Those are the things that encourage people. And also, making a conscious effort. As you have said, whatever that is pure. But this is one verse that has helped me. See, everybody have anxiety. It's just the level of anxiety that differs. It's a percentage that differs. But then, when those things come in, it is what you have inside of you that helps you to stand or to actually shake or actually fall. So if you don't have the word of God in you, there's nothing to praise yourself up with. Amen. And lastly, this just happened today. I'm sorry. This is a life experience. I'm sorry. I have this patient now I've been seeing for 4 weeks. And when I saw him the first week, he told me that his doctor said his PSA was high. He had a PSA high like 4 years ago. And they found he had cancer, and they did the procedure, they didn't do anything, they did the procedure, it was okay. But 2 months ago, the doctor now did the PSA, and the PSA is now 50-something. So he's scared, and they said they told him to go do a CAT scan and everything. So every week I've been seeing for the past 3 weeks, he's been coming, depressed and worried and everything. So today, bringing a woman encourage us, that prayer that we pray in the morning, please let us key into it. One of the prayer points that was raised this morning that we should be a blessing to someone. And today when I saw him, so as he was still depressed, I said, can I ask you a question? Why is this cancer that is? He said, actually, I don't know. I said, so what made you have cancer? What made you to say you have cancer? He said, well, because I had cancer before, and now they say my PSA is high. I think that, I said, the CAT scan that they did, did they show that there was anything? No, but they said there was a little nodule in my lung. I said, well, the little nodule could just be nothing at all. Most of it in the lung. I said, you're right. But the good thing I want to bring out, he walked out of there and actually gave me a gift. I said, Tony, I've opened my eyes. I'm just worrying over nothing. I said, the doctor did not diagnose you. You just gave yourself the diagnosis of cancer. Amen. So, praise the Lord.
You can add a single life by worrying your life away. You know the song? I don't know it. If fire will help me, I don't know. Okay, real quick, I wanted to add to all that they said. John 10:10 says the devil is here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that is his mission. So whatever problem he throws at someone for worrying or whatever is to finish the person. He's a destroyer, is to end the life of that human being. So what we need is the word to cancel that thing immediately from the root. And God Almighty will give us that word. Because I realize that once I see something, I see a word of God to nullify something that is scared, that is, you know, then I am encouraged, empowered. Like, if something happens, God says I am.
Amen. For asking everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I have many things to say. I just want to say two of them.
No.
1 minute. My father died in his sleep. He was
barely 60 years old. And before I became 60, I said to God, when I go to bed, I said, every night, until I said, into your hands I can make myself. So I'm going to die one day. I don't know. When I sleep, it's like I'm dead. Anyway, I don't even know that I'm, you know, when I come and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm alive. So all that worry is for nothing. One day I'm going to die. Maybe even just sitting there, not even in bed. You know, praise the Lord. So I have to shelve that. Then another thing is that, you know, you think that when you are this old, when you are well over 60, like I am, you know, you're not going to have any worries. I have one of my children. She's really giving me challenges, okay? But you know something? In all these challenges that she's giving me, there's one thing I do. It's like, you know, plexiglass, like a glass, like the rain, heavy storm is falling out, but it's not even touching me.
Yeah.
Because what I do is just like I'm removed from that problem. People say, what kind of a mother are you? What I do is that I say, God, I go on my knees, I say, God, this is your child. What can I do? I can't do anything. If you cannot do for your child, what can I do? And I'll say, God, what do you want me to learn from this experience? Because there is something that God is trying to show me. Okay? So, in everything that happens to me, no matter how bad, it's all being anxious, I get on my knees and I say, God, what should I see? What should I take from this problem? So, anxiety is not really part of me. Look at me as a cold fish, or whatever you call cold fish. I don't know what cold fish is. Whatever it is. But I'm not a cold fish. You know, my trust is in God.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, we can still start our second service. Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise,
praise the Lord. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you. And I pray that the anointing upon your life will not drive in Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I see with anxiety is that we just need to ask God to help us. And we need to work on ourselves. There are some things that we should not get ourselves bothered about. For example, we had a disagreement with my wife when I was coming. There's this, you know, my sisters, my wife, they are texting all over. My wife said, oh, why didn't you text? I don't have time. Because the moment I have to sit there without texting, a lot of things begin to go through my mind. I begin to get all worried. Where is this thing leading to? Why do you want to have to get myself into that? And that's why a lot of time, when I see people sitting around, texting on WhatsApp, this person said this, pass this comment, pass that comment. I say, what is this? At the end of the day, some people will leave that place and be upset. He said that about me. I wish that person is in my phone. I could slap that person. Why are you getting yourself into that one? So we need to work on ourselves and don't allow ourselves to get caught up in so many of these things. So that, because when you carry them, you know what? You just take it from one day to the next day to the next day. My prayer is that the Lord will help us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we
thank you
for tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
We just want to thank you because we know you care for us. He said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Because we know you care for us, we cast our care unto you tonight. There's nothing you cannot handle. You can handle everything that concerns me. Father, start a new work in our lives.
Amen.
Free us from every struggle.
Amen.
Lord, we pray tonight that your peace that passes all understanding will fill our hearts in Jesus' name. Blessed be your name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.